Hello, it's another Friday, and it's another edition of the Zogby Report, Real and Unscripted, episode 41 to be exact. And I'm John Zogby, and I'm here with my son and partner, Jeremy Zogby, once again. Hey, Jer, how are you?
Hey, Dad, I'm pretty well. I'm going to steal your phrase, and I'm going to just say it right off the bat. Wow, what a week.
Wow, what a week is right. And we'll review that, but let's look at where we stand. You know, we're numbers guys, and so let's look at the numbers. Brand new poll out just now, in fact, by Investors Business Daily and a group called TIPP. I must admit, I'm a fan of TIPP. They have been among the most accurate over the last three elections. In fact, two of the last three, the most accurate. They have a six-point race, Biden at 49 and Trump at 43. And essentially, you know, there is this continuing seesaw that you see among the respectable pollsters and that I've talked about many times. We see in our polling, you know, a wider differential, a lower differential, maybe even a change in the lead. So nothing written in stone. But what is it about the Investors Business Daily and TIPP? And that is to repeat again and again, it depends on, to a great degree, how the parties are represented in the sample. Now, TIPP uses a very small differential between Democrats and Republicans. In fact, when they came out with their poll, where we showed pretty much the same exact results in early October, we had a 2-point and they had a 3-point Biden lead. They were at 40% Democrat, 40% Republican. Remember, we used 38% Democrat, 34% Republican. But by and large, what's happened with the IBD polling is that then Biden in the interim jumped to a 10-point lead and now back down to a 6-point lead, all of which I'm going to suggest don't go to your bookie just yet. I'm going to say that it looks likely that Joe Biden will win this election, but I do recall 4 years ago saying it looked likely that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election, but I wasn't ready to bet the farm on that either. And so just hold your horses. I know that's small comfort to those who ardently want a Biden victory. I know it's great comfort to those who ardently want a Trump victory. I'm just the delivery man here. And we, of course, Jeremy, will have our own poll the weekend right before the election. And in fact, we will also have a town meeting that we're going to be encouraging people to sign up for, where you can actually listen to the last minute results and even participate asking questions. But Jer, what's your sense out there?
Well, regarding the live town hall, if those who are listening are not on our email blast, sign up, reach out to me at jeremy@johnzogbystrategies.com. We can only have 50 who can participate on the Zoom link, which would, the good thing about getting on the Zoom link is you can engage in the Q&A. However, after we fill up those 50 seats, we are going to live stream this on YouTube. So if you don't sign up for the email blast, just remember that Monday the 2nd, from noon to 1 p.m., you should be able to find this on YouTube. I would just say, reach out to me. I'll have more details, because if you're not on my email blast, I can't really give you the instructions of how to find that. Picking up where you left off, just to make the conversation more interesting, we look to all kinds of data, all kinds of information, and a lot of polls are showing Biden ahead. You referenced one of the most accurate showing Biden ahead by 6. I've been scouring the internet for different data, obviously polls, but what else can point to a direction. And so that's what I'm going to share. First off the bat, I've come across in my research that, and I haven't found this number for the Democratic side. So if anybody who has this information, please send it to me. But apparently Trump volunteers have actually reached out to 20 million homes in swing states. So that signals to me a major mobilization on the Republican front. That's one piece of it. I would continue another source of data, none other than Gallup, right? The iconic polling company, Gallup. This is not about the presidential race. This is about, are you better off now than you were before under the last presidency? When asked that question to the public recently, 56% of Americans are saying they are better off now under Trump than they were 4 years ago under Obama and Biden. Another source of data I'm going to cite would be the Trafalgar Group. They correctly called it back in 2016, the Trump victory. They're saying this time around in 2020 that Trump narrowly wins the Electoral College with 275 votes. And then one last piece of information in terms of data is none other than the top quant from Bank of America, Marco Kolanovich, who is looking at and compiling data from voter registration. And based on the voter registrations in the key swing states of Pennsylvania, Florida, and North Carolina, it looks to be that it doesn't look like a Dem sweep in those states, and that there is a lot of voter registration on the Republican side. If you believe that higher voter registration leads to higher actual turnout on the day of the election, we can't say for sure whether there's an exact correlation. There probably isn't. But these are signals that are pointing back to what our thesis has been all along. It's really too close to tell. I think it's, Dad, you are absolutely correct. There's going to be a seesaw. But for sure, the Trump camp is motivated. I mean, we can see that in the rallies, right? Now, of course, if I make the analogy to 2016, in which if you compared the rallies between Hillary and Trump, it was obvious that Trump had way more excitement. I mean, tens of thousands of people. Hillary could barely get 10,000 in a lot of her rallies. Of course, the different dynamic around this time around is the coronavirus, and it seems to be that generally speaking, Democrats are more concerned about that. So that is probably the major reason why Biden rallies are not really anywhere close to what Trump rallies are. But I'm trying to put that all together to give me a sense of direction beyond what other polls and our polls are saying. And when you put it all together, once again, it's closer than you think. We don't know. Both camps are motivated, are mobilized and ready. And this is going to be a battle of the ages.
So let me cite the work of another iconic pollster, us. And a couple of things. Okay, we found in our last poll, which was supported by other polls, notably just yesterday by Pew Research, that Biden leads by double digits in our polling by 16 percentage points among those who have already voted or will vote mail-in. And Trump leads by 18 percentage points among those who are going to wait until Election Day. And so the context here is that we're speaking right now, probably approaching 20 million people who have already voted, some of whom, as has been reported, have been waiting in line 4, 6, even 8 hours to vote in person in various states where they can do that. And it's clear that these are Democrats who are voting, and it's not surprising that there is an awful lot of enthusiasm. But more importantly, these are folks that want to stay away because of the virus, stay away on Election Day, where the crowds will be very large, and the crowds will be filled on election day with Trump supporters who won't be wearing masks or social distancing. And so we have to keep that in mind, that what we're seeing right now is a very heavy voter turnout, very good for Joe Biden, but this is expected prior to Election Day, that it's a big Biden, big Democratic turnout. The other thing I just want to underscore what you just said, and that is that you do have record numbers of people turning out to vote in individual states. Michigan, for example, the number of Democrats, the number of Republicans who have already voted are about evenly split at 40%, 40%. There is an even split in Florida as well. Wisconsin, actually slightly more Republicans have turned out to vote than Democrats. And so, you know, while polling is very valuable data, and of course it is, we've made a living on it for the last four decades. Fact of the matter is that there are other things that have to be considered. Now, I'm just looking right now at these have just been posted as we speak. North Carolina, key battleground state where Biden had been leading. Trump, of course, won it 4 years ago, 49-49. Now, here's Michigan. This is the Trafalgar Group. Biden 46, Trump 47. Here's Florida. This is the Mason-Dixon poll. They've been around a long time. Biden leads by 3. So, yeah, we're not done here. We are not done here. And a cautionary note. At this point in time, I would stay away from looking at the Real Clear Politics averages. I like Real Clear Politics. First page I go to in the morning and the last page I go to at night. However, when they do their averages, they're going to be averaging in not only today's polls nationally or in a state, but they're going to go back a week or even 2 weeks earlier and average those in. And polls at this point in time, among other things, are very time sensitive. So what may have been happening 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, 7 days ago, may not be relevant. Take a look at the last two or three polls and average those, especially if they're sardine packaged in the last 24 or 48 hours.
So I'm going to turn the conversation to the biggest news of the week. And let's see, because we haven't talked about this, where we align and where we diverge. But first off, I'm going to go back to some of the data that I laid out. And I'm going to say, in my opinion, probably the most key data point that was there was that Gallup question. It's a standard polling question, but from a recent Gallup poll that said 56% of Americans say they're better off today than they were under Obama and Biden. And so what that tells me is it's a redux of it's the economy, stupid, right? The famous phrase, the campaign moniker that Clinton used to secure his victory. So I'm going to tie this into what is, in my opinion, the biggest bombshell news of the last week. And that was none other than Dr. David Nabarro, the World Health Organization special envoy, who has come out in massive criticism of the use of lockdowns in nations. I'm going to read his quote. He says, "We really didn't." And interesting that he's saying "we." He's speaking for the entire organization, not for himself. He is the special envoy. "We really do appeal to all world leaders, stop using lockdown as your primary control method. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as the primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, to regroup, to rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it." He goes on and continues to say that the overuse of the national lockdowns is likely to bring a global catastrophe in which world poverty is doubled. And so I tie this back to the notion of it's the economy, stupid redux, because not only are we facing this nationally, we're facing this all over the world. But of course, we're going to focus in the United States. You go back to that data point that 56% of people say that they're better off now than they were under Obama. That's fascinating, right? They're saying that even after the coronavirus, after almost a year into this. But I'm combining these two elements that I'm talking about, and what I'm getting at, and again, this is now, this could all change, is if the economy is the most important thing, which it typically tends to be in an election, then that statement by the WHO could work in Trump's favor, in which he's already hit the ground running saying, see, I told you so. I told you that those measures would be worse than the disease. I wonder how long he can continue that message. I wonder if he can control that narrative. And I wonder if he can carry that up until election day. Of course, as we've talked about many times, usually it's the October surprise, but I'm saying in 2020, it's the October surprises. What will come out that will sway voters one way or another? I think this statement by the WHO's special envoy, Dr. David Nabarro, could potentially have the impact to convince those few who are remaining undecided. Although they're few, they are absolutely consequential, or, and will decide the election. I have another thing that I want to talk about, but Dad, why don't you continue, and then you know we'll each take sides from there regarding the biggest news of the week.
Well, I'm not so sure that that's the biggest news of the week. However, and if I respond to you in kind, then you won't have any time, given our wanting to limit the.
Well,
I
would just say doubling of the world poverty is pretty huge news.
Yeah, doubling of the world poverty rate is indeed, and that is obviously due to COVID-19. Whether or not the right moves have been done or not is, you know, that really remains to be seen. This is a situation that really none of us, you know, anticipated, should have anticipated perhaps, but didn't to this extent. But with that said, Donald Trump still receives, you know, given the polarity of the country, relatively good marks on handling the economy. And that's important to note. He gets the highest marks for handling the economy rather than handling COVID, the environment, healthcare, any number of other issues. I'm not entirely sure that this election will hinge only on the economy, stupid. It'll also hinge, I think, to some degree on empathy, to a great degree on whether people trust science or don't trust science. And obviously then it'll hinge on personality and whether or not Americans feel there's too much disruption or too much chaos. Obviously, I'm not ready to call this election, and I think again one of the big mistakes that major media have been making is that they really detest Donald Trump very much. They've become combatants, and even to the point where the coverage of their polls are treating the election once again, as in 2016, like a fait accompli. You know, everybody knows Biden's going to win. Let's run out the clock and so on. And whether you and I agree or disagree on some points, I think what we both agree on is just hold your horses here. We've still got a little over 2 weeks to go. And yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah, and And with all the data that we point to, it shows almost an even divide, if not an even divide. So we're entirely, at least I'm entirely focusing on what's going to move it. In our polls, we show 3% undecided.
Yeah.
So what's going to move that 3% one way or the other, or will Trump and Biden each get 1.5% of that? That's not out of the realm of possibility. But another story, and maybe if you don't agree with the WHO reversing course on the lockdown and talking about the impact that it has in terms of potentially doubling global poverty, many people could say, well, that's not the biggest story. I would say I don't see what is bigger, but I'll say what the next biggest story is Twitter. Right? Your dad, you're talking about the mistake that the mainstream media is making by overtly attacking Donald Trump, which could backfire. I mean, that could backfire, but when we focus on what is the fourth estate, the media, we think in terms of the networks, but really in the digital age, the fourth estate is not just the network news, it's also social media platforms, and I'm talking about none other than Twitter. Now, forget about the Hunter Biden angle of, you know, whether he was involved or not in, being on the board of Burisma and getting, you know, sweet deals from, Chinese figures, getting paid in the millions while Joe Biden was vice president. Whether that is true or not true, I'm going to say for now, is irrelevant. But what is incredibly relevant is Twitter's reaction to those stories circulating, in which there are, several screenshots going around the news where people are trying to post these stories, and they're blocked, they're banned from doing it. It says this post could be potentially harmful. That shows that the social media giant of Twitter, it looks pretty obvious that they have a dog in this fight. They have a favored candidate because controversial theories and controversial news and controversial beliefs don't just come from Team Trump. They also come from Team Biden. To my knowledge, it looks to be that Team Trump is getting shadow banned, blocked, and all sorts of filters that prevent news from that side of the political spectrum, whereas we don't really see that from the left. And so what I'm tying this all together by saying, the other thing I'm looking out for is in the 3% undecided that our polls show that we have in this election, that could this, as you talked about, Dad, the mainstream media, attacking Trump so much that it backfires. I'm now shifting or looking at Facebook and Twitter having the same effect, where a certain portion of this 3% undecided say, you know what, they're unfairly going after this guy, and they're blocking, stories that are coming out of Team Trump, but they're not doing that for Team Biden. That's something that I'm also looking for to play out over these next few weeks, and what the impact could be.
So to sum this all up, this 26 minutes has been a very, very informed, I don't know what's going to happen. That's on my end. How about you?
Well, I don't know who's going to win. That I don't know. But what I do know is it's going to be chaotic. I think we all agree neither side is going to concede it. It almost doesn't matter who wins, right? It doesn't matter who wins, because whatever the outcome is, it's going to be challenged. And that of course is, that's the blame of that is on both sides, not just one side.
I know what you're saying. For me, it matters who wins, and it matters then how this is handled. That's where we agree. How it's handled after the election. But we've got a ways to go. We've got two more podcasts before the election. Is that right? Or is there three? Two more. Be a lot to talk about. There certainly was today. And we had a good conversation, you and me. We always do.
Yeah, we covered the entire week in under 28 minutes. That's like a podcast decathlon.
Hey, have a good week.
And take care. Have a good week.
Ryan, you have a good week too, our producer. Thanks.